Get your finances in order. Be a good steward of what God has given you. This is Money Matters with Caesar Lauper, your guide on financial stewardship. Learn how to create, build, and protect the wealth God has entrusted to you. Now, here's your host of Money Matters, Caesar Lauper.
So welcome to Money Matters, the program that helps you create, build, and protect wealth, the wealth that God has entrusted you with. God bless you greatly this day and every day of your life. Thank you for joining me today. My name is Caesar Lauper, Certified Financial Planner, and your host. I want to take this this opportunity to thank my friend and host of Faith Food and Football, Mr. Peter Tasker, for having me in his show and sharing one of my passions with his audience, which is the passion of helping people find financial peace of mind. And that, that may mean a lot of different things to different people, I think. Financial peace of mind, you know, what is that? Financial peace to the humble president of Uruguay, whom I was able to listen to over the last week. Man, I was really impressed with him. He gives 90% of his presidential salary to help the needy of his country. Means peace of mind to him. The peace that is found in the simplicity of his life and the satisfaction that he gets from giving back to society, especially to the needy of his country. Imagine 90%, never mind 10%, give back 10%. He gives 90% of his income back to society. And that's, for a president, it's not like a lot of money that he gets, right? I mean, his salary is $12,000 a month, which for a president, I don't think is all that much. But 90% of that he gives back. Man, that he's got his priorities straight there. Compare that, for example, to the average financial piece to the average North American family, which may mean having enough to take care of the needs of their family, paying for their children's education, providing for an annual vacations, giving enough to their church, keeping up with the latest gadget, and even having enough to retire on. The reality is that peace is found in your perception of the blessings you have been given and the proper stewardship of those blessings. So wherever you are in your journey towards financial peace, my job is to counsel, guide you, and give you rock-solid advice. And that is my blessing, a tremendous privilege that I consider a tremendous privilege that I've been given to be your counselor and advisor, to guide you and to keep you on track. What a blessing and a privilege it is for me to be able to serve you. Once again, thank you. Thank you all those who called last week to share their goals, their objectives, their concerns with me. Thank you to Fazel, Ron, Julia, Lynette, Rodney, Barry, Catherine, and all the others who share their concerns and open their hearts, their homes, and their trust to me and my team. You know, it really truly is a blessing and a privilege to work for you, to act as your counselor and advisor, to assist you with the proper, and that's the key word there, is the proper stewardship of the finances that God has entrusted you with. And, I pray that you may be blessed through the teachings that we share with you today and every Saturday morning. We have a service guarantee. And that guarantee is that as a result of your participation in our financial planning program, through your participation in our financial planning process, you will be able to reach that financial peace that you've been looking for. You know, you'll have the confidence that your investment portfolio is being managed with integrity and with your best interest at heart. Your financial situation will improve from where you are today. A year from now, when we get to sit down and review the steps that you've taken, what progress you have made, you'll be able to look back and say with confidence that your situation has improved. You'll be able to confidently say that you are moving in the right direction. Listen, a field will only yield what the farmer has prepared it for, right? If a seed is planted and not cared for, then the fruit the seed will give will be limited. If a seed is planted in well-prepared soil, rich in nutrients and cared for with the right amount of water and keeping it free from infestation and long-term harmful pesticides, then the land will be fruitful for a very long time. And I think that so it is with your investment portfolio and with your financial plans. You must care for them. You must review them regularly to ensure that there are no harmful pesticides that may kill the soil over time and will ruin the capacity to give you fruit over time. You must care for your investment portfolio. And I've often said that if you have, you know, if you have a cow that produces milk, then you should use the milk to feed your family, to generate enough income to keep the cow and to acquire perhaps more cows. And if you do this, then you will ensure that you have enough for your family, you will have for the next generation to come, and you'll be able to feed the needy as well. But if you instead decide to kill the cow to pay for the bills that you have to take care of, then you're killing the ability to produce the milk that fed you in the first place, that fed you and your loved ones. And if you're ever sick, or if you ever have a bad year, then you will not be in a position to help anyone, even yourself. So, but you'll be in a position where you're seeking help. And so the choice in a big part is yours. What you do, how you decide to play, how you decide your decision-making process will play a big role in the financial peace outcome. So make the choice today to take care for what matters in your financial life. You know, this show is about taking care of what you've been blessed with. It's called Money Matters because money does matter in life. It's called Money Matters because we talk about matters relating to money all the time, and we help you create, build, and protect wealth. Making decisions, you won't regret having made the right decision in your life. Will never lead you to regret the decision, right? So a good friend of mine told me once, Caesar, when you make a decision, make sure you begin with the end in mind. So you got to visualize the end result of your decision, and then having the end picture clear in your mind, ask yourself, did I make the right decision? If you are able to do that, then more likely than not, you'll be making wise decisions. So this is your job. This is our job. Our job is to assist you. Your job is to make the right decisions, to make the call, to allow us to help you in making the right decisions for your financial future. Decisions that can change your family tree. Decisions that can impact the next generation. Not only you and your children and your loved ones, but you know what? Even generations to come. So start well, but most importantly, finish well. So, okay, for the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about RRSPs, right? It is RSP season, as we talked with Peter on the phone. It is that time of the year in which people look at the possibility of maximizing their RSPs. It's not that they're, you know, rushing in just to make that last final RSP contribution just to get that return, that tax return, but it is a time to really, really, really look at the opportunities that are there to maximize. Why? Because, it's not until the end of the year that you really know exactly what your income has been. Maybe you have different in multiple income sources. Maybe you've had different investment decisions that you made in the past 12 months that caused you to have a different income outcome at the end of the year. Maybe you had more expenses that can be deducted during the year. So this time of the year is an opportune time to actually sit down, review, and see and analyze and find out if there are any opportunities that will reduce the taxes that you have to pay for 2014. And if you are an employee and those taxes are deducted at source, then to claim some of those taxes back. Okay, so why, you know, RSP season, a time to use to maximize your tax refunds, to maximize your retirement nest egg. I think everyone wants that refund. I mean, I think if you do an income tax return and you say, you have an option either to pay $1,000 or to get back $1,000, most people would want that second option, right? Let's try to get some of that money back. And everybody loves it when they get their taxes back. Listen. You have a financial partner, whether you want to or not. You have a financial partner. whether you want the partner or not, you have that financial partner, and that partner will be for you forever until the day you die. That partner will want to collect a portion of every penny that you make after he has collected, and after he has collected a portion of every penny you make, he will also get a portion of every penny that you spend. So not only does he collect a portion of your efforts in making an income, but then he will also penalize you and take a portion of the money you decide to spend. Think about that. And then you hear what they do. And then when you hear what they do with the funds that they've collected from you, with your hard-earned dollars, you know, the misuse sometimes that occurs, and, you know, take an example of the, you know, big contract cancellations and for public board contracts that they entered into with without the long-term consideration. So, you know, I think it behooves us all to take charge of the taxes you're paying. It behooves you to ensure that you do not give more than your fair share of taxes, and that you direct where your hard-earned dollars will be best used. It is your responsibility. It's you who is the steward of what you have been blessed with. You trade every single day. Every single day, if you're still employed, right? Every single day, if you're not retired, every single day you trade that day for a dollar. You trade your day for value. And as important it is to go to work every day, you can provide so that you can provide for your family. It is equally important to take care of the funds you generate. And we are here to help you optimize the benefits you can generate from the proper stewardship of your finances. And so one show at a time, my team and I are committed to bring you more and more understanding about the investment world and the world of personal finance in order to assist you in making the right financial decisions for yourself and for your family. Now, during the series on RSPs, which we started several weeks ago, and we'll go on for the next couple of weeks, I'll continue to discuss everything you need to know about RSPs. When to RSP, when not to RSP, in order to assist you with making good decisions for your retirement. You know, there's a lot of information to share with you today, so get a pen and paper ready. Take some notes, write your questions down, give us a call. We'll be glad to answer them, to help you and to guide you. Call your friends and family members and invite them to join us and share with us a time of learning and a time of creating, building, and protecting your wealth. You'll also want to take my contact information down, and you can either email me at caesar.lauper@ipcc.org. So that would be caesar.lauper@ipcc.org. Or you can simply call me at 1-866-551-7374. That number again is 1-866-551-7374. All right, so let's start with a little bit of a market commentary and, you know, what may be affecting your investments. And, you know, there's so much out there. So the time we have in this show really is not enough. It's not enough to give you all the information. So let's just touch on a couple of things. So let's talk about interest rates south of the border. Let me share with you what one of the largest bond managers have to say about that. So many of you probably have heard about PIMCO, okay? PIMCO starts for Pacific Investment Management Company. It's a limited liability company, a global investment firm, which is headquartered in Newport Beach, California. Now, they get this. They have over 2,000 employees working in 13 offices across 12 countries. So I would guess they have quite a bit of information that we could probably use. PIMCO is a fixed income investment management company with $1.2 trillion in third-party assets as of 2015 January, and the company also manages over $400 billion in assets for Allianz. The company runs the largest mutual fund in the world, the largest bond mutual fund in the world, and it's known as the PIMCO Total Return Fund. So, you know, bonds, interest rates, they have something to do with each other, so they probably have quite a bit of information, and we should listen to what they have to say. You know, they provide portfolio management and asset allocation solutions for millions of investors worldwide. PIMCO also oversees investments on behalf of a wide range of clients, including millions of retirement savers, public and private pension plans, educational institutions, central banks, and government agencies, foundations and endowments, and financial intermediaries, amongst others. So they're really, they are definitely a credible source. And here's what they have to say about interest rates in the U.S. Basically, they said that they believe that the Fed is going to move sometime in June or September of this year, which means that interest rates might be going up. They feel that the FOMC, which is the Federal Open Market Committee, which is responsible for open market operations, is holding eight regularly scheduled meetings per year. And at these meetings, of course, the committee reviews economic and financial conditions, and they determine the appropriate stance of monetary policy, and they also assess the risk of its long-run goals of price stability and sustainable economic growth. Well, PIMCO believes that the FOMC, this powerful institution, wants to move from the near zero level of interest rates, and they back this up by stating that the private sector in the U.S. is improving and productivity slack is reducing. Jobs are growing at roughly 2% per year. Workers are working 0.5% longer, and income growth is roughly 2%. So this they use as an income proxy for the United States, then give it a total income growth rate of approximately 4.5%. So interest rates are eventually hitting higher, and some of the things that could cause the Fed to move faster in terms of increasing interest rates, so prior to September or June, is gradual improvement in the labor market, especially wages. So if wages, they say, accelerate from 2 to 3%, that could cause the Fed to move even faster. What would cause the Fed to move slower than projected, June or September move, would be a slowdown in inflation or inflation expectations, as well as a slowdown in global growth. So a lot of considerations. Now, what this means is that anything can change, right? Anything can change. All things are uncertain. Global political will remains determined, and your portfolio needs to be nimble and well-balanced, as I've been saying for the last few years. Your portfolio needs to be able to move in the right direction, to go where the puck is going. So it needs to be nimble. Now, here in Canada, advisor.ca reported that Statistics Canada retail sales fell 2% to $42.1 billion in December, which is basically the largest one-month drop since April 2010. And economists had expected a drop of 0.4%. On 2.3%. So the largest increase in dollar terms came from 1% increase in food and beverages, and food stores and convenience stores as well. So other recent data: surge in part-time work last month helped Canadian economy pack on 35,400 net new jobs. A change that nudged the unemployment rate down to 6.6%. And that included a loss of 11,800 full-time positions, offset again by 47,000 part-time jobs. That's the key there. So Stats Canada also says that the country's merchandise trade deficit with the rest of the world grew from $335 million in November to $649 million in December. Falling Canadian pump prices last month played a big role, of course, and the Bank of Canada has cut its interest overnight rate from 1% to 75 basis points, and it's really the best, the first time since 2010, and it appears that the pressure may be for the Bank of Canada to reduce again. We'll just have to wait and see how that develops. In the meantime, banks and insurers are raising their loss provisions for energy-driven markets. So it appears that as the U.S. pushes towards a probable rate increase, our nation may be holding still for some time. Meanwhile, in Europe, things are as melodramatic as they have been in the past 7 years. So first the big call, Europe is separating, and then no, they're not. Europe is falling apart, and no, they're not. Greece is leaving, no, they're not. Italy is leaving, no, they're not. Spain is leaving, no, they're not. You know, and so Greece is leaving again, right? Or maybe not. So in the meantime, you know, we're left holding the guessing bag, wondering what will develop. And the lesson here is that there is no certainty. And all we have is political will and uncertainty, which basically depreciates the values of all companies that operate in the area, both well-run companies and not-so-well-run companies. And what this spells for me is opportunity. Opportunity for the savvy investor who is well-trained in identifying undervalued companies that will continue to profit as their governments get their act together. So unlike many, this is one favorable area in my humble opinion. So now keep in mind that many of the most intelligent investment thinkers out there today are in agreement that the future returns for U.S. stocks and bonds will be below their recent experience. Listen, we've had a tremendous run over the last 7 years. So, you know, this has been pointed out by many of many for a number of years now. People have been saying, listen, you got to be careful, right? We've been at a bull market for some time. We need to then adjust our expectations. So one thing you can count on, however, is that there always historically has been a reversion to the mean. And that means that if we have had a six-year equity bull market, we should then expect a reversion to the mean. So a lower return expectation in your equity exposure would be appropriate at this particular time. You know, we see that the S&P 500 is up 16% per year over the last 5 years alone. It would only take an annual return of 3.5% over the next 5 years to see the 10-year return number to the long-term average of 9.6%. So, if reversion to the mean is it holds true, then we should be expecting lower rates of return in the equity markets over the next 5 years. Now, of course, this is a very simplified example, but generally, periods of above average performance are followed by periods of below average performance. And you know, that's why it's called an average. So this average will eventually come to fruition. Keep that in mind. We don't know when, but you know, that will happen. So, you know, I was reviewing an investment portfolio with a few clients, and when they look at the returns over the last 12 months, they're very happy, and they're very happy, and they're very happy, and they're saying, wow, you know, if we keep going at this rate, I'll retire in 2 years. And I said, no. Hold on a second. You really can't expect what we've done over the last 5 years to remain true, and you can't really, you know, count and project your growth of your assets at that rate. You can't. You just can't, you know, because the reversion to the mean will come to fruition. So when we look at a longer term, however, it may be that since the 10-year average return to the end of 2008, and that was a very hard year to take, was zero. So if we were to look at your investments, say 1998 to 2008, you had zero rate of return. You had the same amount or slightly less, but not a lot more than you had in 1998. So the 10-year average at that time in equities was zero. That means that the next 10 years would have to have an average, get this, over the next 10 years would have to have an average of 19%, okay, in order to bring the returns back to average. Maybe this is why Mr. Buffett at that time said, this is the time to invest for the next 20 years and get into the equity markets. So, which basically signals considerable returns for the next couple of years. However, be vigilant, okay? Be vigilant. You know, caution is always needed and recommended. You know, one of the problems for disciplined investors in a strong bull market such as the one we've experienced over the last 6 years is that risk management isn't always rewarded. Of course, because they've had a balanced portfolio, the rate of return on their portfolios may not have been 16%. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that and also about RRSPs and, you know, when to and when not to RRSP. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about this you know, portfolio construction and how a balance will not outperform in bull markets, but it certainly will not, have the losses that a correction in the equity markets normally has. So let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue with Money Matters, creating, building, and protecting your wealth.
How long has it been since you've heard from your financial planner? 6 months? A year? Longer? Maybe it's been so long since the last time you met with your advisor that you don't know how your portfolio is doing. You've probably missed out on opportunities along the way. Cesar Lauper of IPC Investment Corporation knows how important it is to review portfolios with his clients on a regular basis. He is in contact with his clients and helps them to reduce the risk in their portfolios and maximize their return. You've worked hard for your money. It's part of your financial future. You should be getting the most out of your investments. Cesar Lauper is the certified financial planner we trust to send our WDCX listeners to. Call Cesar today to set up your appointment at 1-866-551-7374. That's 1-866-551-7374. Cesar Lauper, your certified financial planner in the GTA.
Everyone has heard the news, how deep Canadians are in debt, how hard it is to get a mortgage. Every single day, we are making homeowners' dreams come true. Getting first-time buyers into homes and helping homeowners use their equity to power down their debt. We're Mortgage Intelligence, and we're mortgage experts with access to over 50 lenders, including major banks, plus credit unions, national and private lenders with proven track records, great rates, and fewer rules. For more information, contact Cesar Lauper of IPC Investment Corporation at 1-866-551-7374.
What's your dream when you retire? Relaxing on the beach? Exploring some of the most famous cities in the world? Or enjoying a peaceful stay in the home you live in now? Not all dreams are the same. Some dreams require more money, others less. Your dream dictates how much you need to save. Big or small, your dream becomes reality when you have a successful portfolio. That's why you need someone who will properly manage your portfolio. Someone like Cesar Lauper of IPC Investment Corporation. He is the only certified financial planner we recommend our listeners go to in the GTA. Cesar will come up with a portfolio based on what it takes to achieve your dream and guide you along the way so that you can live that dream when you retire. Call Cesar today to set up an appointment at 1-866-551-7374. That's 1-866-551-7374. Cesar Lauper, your certified financial planner in the GTA.
Get your financial questions answered. You're listening to Money Matters with Cesar Lauper.
Money Matters, the show that helps you create, build, and protect the wealth that you have been entrusted with. So we've been talking about the markets and what sort of returns the equity markets have given us over the last 5 years. And 16% average over the last 5 years certainly is nice. Most people who have invested adequately over the last 5 years must be very pleased with the overall rate of return of their portfolios. Now, the problem with having risk measurements in place and then not just being 100% invested in the equity markets, but, you know, having a balanced portfolio is that probably over the last 5 years you have not. If you have had a well-run balanced portfolio that mitigates some of the risk of the equity markets, then your rate of return is not going to be the same, right? It's not going to be as the equity markets have been, because you're not 100% exposed to that, so you can't expect the same rate of return. On the flip side, when the equity markets do correct and they drop 10, 15, 20%, your portfolio will not have that sudden drop either. So there's some benefits to that, and over the long term, spend enormous amounts of time and energy constructing policy portfolios, and only to allow the allocations they established to drift with the whims of the market. Without a disciplined approach to maintaining policy targets, he says fiduciaries fail to achieve the desired characteristics for the institution's portfolio. So the whole point of setting a desired asset allocation in the first place is not about maximizing returns. So if that was the case, then you would probably make sense to have your entire portfolio invested in stocks. And the point of asset allocation is to diversify your risks and manage your emotions. Now that means that adhering to a disciplined approach by occasionally rebalancing, by buying some of your relative underperformance and selling some of your relative outperformance, that makes sense. Crystallize some of your profits and add to your lowest cost positions to balance that risk. Now, I have yet to find a perfect rebalancing system. You know, the one that works best will be the one that each investor is personally able to pull off without second-guessing the action and putting it off until later. The point of risk management is admitting that you'll never be able to perfectly time every investment move. It has never happened perfectly, even for savvy investors. As a matter of fact, many an intelligent investor has gone broke trying to time the markets precisely. So risk management isn't something you can turn on and off when you feel like it. Risk is ever present in the markets. No one really knows when bull markets are going to start or stop, nobody knows when they're gonna start and never know when they're gonna stop. No one really knows that at all. Just ask anyone that's been calling for a top in U.S. stocks over the past couple of years, and for the past 3 years. Or ask the pundits who have been calling for $2,000 gold prices for the last 10 years only to see their call lose 40% of their investments. So if we do experience lower financial market returns in the future, rebalancing and managing risk will be much more important than they have been for the past few years. Here's the wisdom of having a process in a system that accomplishes this automatically. Without your second guessing, because as much as you may read and as much as you may listen to the news and watch the comments of the most savvy money managers out there, you will never have all the facts about everything that affects the markets in order for you to make a perfect call every time. So if you do make a perfect call one time or twice, you might as well credit that to luck, because I can assure you that it had nothing to do with perfect knowledge, nothing. So you did not have the perfect knowledge of all the market influencers out there. You know, true wisdom comes in the humility of understanding the limitations of your ability to absorb the information about the markets, all of it. The intentions of policymakers, the intentions of corporate managers, the intentions of the employees, the intentions of consumers, the intentions of international investors, and an infinite number of factors that will at one time or another affect your portfolio. So let it be known. Listen to this and listen carefully. The most important thing about a long-term successful investment portfolio is not going for the home run every time you're up at bat, but rather about just getting to base. So giving up on risk controls in the portfolio rarely ends well for investors. Those that forget about risk controls end up striking out more times than they would want, and sometimes they don't have another opportunity to get back to bat again. So learn. The key is the process, and to participate in the process, all you have to do is call 1-866-551-7374. 1-866-551-7374, and we'll be able to get together with you and answer all your questions and get you on the right track. So, okay. Over the last couple of weeks, as I've mentioned, we have been discussing RRSPs, everything you need to know about RRSPs. So we're going to continue with that. We talked about the importance of understanding your marginal tax rate in making RRSP contributions and how that affects your tax refunds. This is key in making a decision to buy your RRSPs. First, you need to know where you are, what is your marginal tax rate, and then have a projection of what your marginal tax rate may be when you start withdrawing those funds. We also discussed how you should look at those tax refunds. They are really temporary loans, okay? They're temporary loans. They're not a refund that you get to keep forever, and that's the truth. So for the most part, Because at some point in the future, you will have to return the same amount of money you got back, or more, and very rarely less than you received. However, some or all of what you get back as a tax refund has to be paid back in the future. So that I consider to be a loan. Now, we discussed that you need to consider how long it will be before you will need to draw your money out of an RSP as well. We discussed how the first-time home buyer's plan works, how you can make it an effective planning tool to enhance your ability to acquire a property. We talked about the lifelong learning plan and how you can use your RSPs to enhance your education as well. We talked about our RIF rules and how to invest in RSPs. We talked about withholding taxes and how they work, beneficiary appointments and considerations. And we also discussed the various situations when you should never consider buying an RRSP. And we've also answered the great RSP debates, such as, you know, should I buy an RSP or put my money towards my mortgage? We also talked about, you know, whether it's better to put your money in an RSP or a tax-sheltered account, a tax-free savings account. And bottom line is that RSPs are better for retirement only once you have built a solid foundation to meet your potential emergencies that you may have to face in the future. We also talked about your RIF options. We discussed, you know, the difference between client-named accounts and the advantage of self-directed accounts. So much information. So you may have questions right now, right? You may, you know, what's all that? And what are my options? And, you know, should I put money into an RSP, an RESP, or maybe TFSA, or maybe put my money into my debt or my mortgage? You know, so to answer all your questions, to optimize your financial situation, take on our offer. We will conduct a personal analysis of where you are currently and give you the answer you need to optimize your financial health. And to do that, all you got to do is call 1-866-551-7374. Again, that number is 1-866-551-7374. Everyone should be calling. All right, so, you know, with RSPs, the rule number one is don't lose money by deciding to invest in an RSP. Don't pay more tax by using RSP, and that can happen. That can happen if you use it the wrong way. So if your marginal tax rate at the time of contribution is likely to be equal or lower than your marginal tax rate should be at the time of withdrawal, then RSPs do not make sense. So if, on the other hand, your marginal tax rate at the time of contribution is likely to be greater than your marginal tax rate at the time of withdrawal, then RSPs do make sense. All right. So a reminder, the deadline to receive a tax deduction for 2014 is March the 2nd, which is the first 60 days of 2015. And give us a call. We'll help you set that up, and we'll help you put a plan together that will actually give you a clear path towards your retirement, a clear path towards your estate planning wants and goals. All right, so let's talk about what happens to your RSPs when you pass away, because one day, you know, that is another guarantee, right? One day, we may, you know, we may be called home. So when you think of your RSP planning, you often think about whether it makes sense to buy the RSP or not to buy an RSP, to invest your money somewhere else. But one question that we people don't necessarily think about or don't think about addressing is what happens to your RSP when you pass away. So, you know, although, you know, it's not something that we like to think about, it's not something that people want to contemplate, it's not something that people want to consider. It's a difficult conversation to have, but you need to have it at least once, all right? And, you know, so we need to consider what happens to the RSP, especially when it comes to taxes. So on death, the RSPs are deemed to have been sold and deregistered. So the tax consequences really depend on who is listed as the beneficiary of the RRSP. Well, the general rule for an RRSP or RIF is that the value of your RRSP or RIF at the date of death is included in the income of the deceased for the tax return for that year of death. So regardless of who is the beneficiary, RRSP income is deemed to have been sold and deregistered, and it must be claimed in the final tax return. Now, there are exceptions, of course, in terms of, you know, tax liability, and then, you know, when those taxes are due and payable. And so you can defer the tax payment on that if you name one of three parties as the beneficiary of your registered retirement savings plan or your registered retirement income fund. And the three parties are, number one, your spouse, okay? So the spouse, which includes a common law spouse, if they are named as a beneficiary, then you can delay and defer the tax payment. You can also name a financially dependent child or a grandchild who is under the age of 18. Then you can also defer the tax payment over a period of time, not as long as when you do when the beneficiary is a spouse, of course. Or you can also have as a beneficiary a financially dependent, mentally or physically disabled child or grandchild of any age. So if you leave them as beneficiaries, then you can defer the tax payments as well. Now, if you name your spouse as a beneficiary, then the spousal rollover provision would allow a spouse that is listed as the beneficiary to roll over the amount of the deceased RSP to their RSP without any tax consequences. But you must declare the income and with an equal amount being rolled over as a contribution to the spouse's, the surviving spouse's RSP. You got to be careful how you do that. You got to complete the right forms. Otherwise, you may be unpleasantly surprised with a huge tax bill. Obviously, for planning purposes, it is wise in most cases to list your spouse as the beneficiary of your RSPs. Now, dependent child or grandchild, if a financially dependent child or a grandchild who is under the age of 18 is named as the beneficiary of the RSP, then the dependent child under 18 can roll the RRSP. Okay, of course, they can't do it. You know, you're going to have somebody to actually put this whole thing together for them. But they can roll the RSP money into an annuity that pays the child until the age of 18. So, for example, let's say that you have a child or a grandchild who is currently 7 years old, who is the beneficiary. You decide to make them the beneficiary of your RSP. Then that child, you can have the RSP rolled into an 11-year annuity, which would, of course, spread the tax over an 11-year period and hopefully also at a lower rate of tax. Now, if you name a disabled child or a grandchild, the amount received can be transferred from an RSP can be set up an income for the child, meaning that the funds will not be taxed until the funds are withdrawn. Now, it is important to weigh any tax savings against the practical issues related to having the funds go into the hands of a disabled child. You need to there's several considerations to keep in mind. So we can help you with that again. You know, other things that you need to consider. What happens to the home buyer's plan when you pass away? So let's say that you participated in the home buyer's plan, and there's an outstanding balance remaining in the RSP home buyer's plan. Well, the outstanding balance with that will be included as income of the deceased final income tax return unless the spouse was named as beneficiary and had taken out a home buyer's plan amount at the same time. So if you have a couple, you know, two of them, $25,000 RSP, they take that out, they buy a house, and they name each other's beneficiaries, one of them passes away, well, then the amount that's outstanding to be paid back into RSP can be transferred over to the surviving spouse. So that is a benefit. All right. Successor annuitants for RRIF. So the Registered Retirement Income Funds, when naming your spouse's beneficiary, you are given the option of having your spouse receive the Registered Retirement Income Fund as a lump sum, or you can choose your spouse as the successor annuitant of that RIF, which would probably make a heck of a lot more sense. So if a successor annuitant election is not made, then the deceased RIF will be collapsed during the disposition of the investments in the RRIF, so in the RIF, followed by a rollover into the RRSP or RIF of the surviving spouse, so you can actually roll that over. Now, there may be several disadvantages to doing that, of course, and it may not be a good time to sell the investment of the RIF, for example, or there may be also, selling costs to be considered. Also, if there is an issue of preparing all of the paperwork, and let me tell you, we've done several of these, and it is quite a bit of work, and you need to be precise in completing those forms. All right, so the successor annuitant designation is effortless if you actually put that in. So, you know, take this time, not only to review whether or not you should be putting more money into your RSP, but also take a look at the beneficiary appointments and how your accounts are being held. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with this very, very important topic of RSPs, went to and went not to, and what things need to be considered. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
Your pension is being affected. You have been offered a severance package, or your pension benefits are changing. Your company is implementing a new pension plan. What does this mean for you? How will a new pension plan affect your retirement? These are questions you don't have answers to. Retirement is not that far away. You need to be prepared, because this is your money going toward your financial future. Get the answers you need from certified financial planner Caesar Lauper of IPC Investment Corporation. Caesar will guide you during this transition. He will show you what these changes to your new pension plan will mean for your dreams when you retire, so you can plan accordingly. Call Caesar today to set up your appointment at 1-866-551-7374. 1-866-551-7374. That's 1-866-551-7374. Caesar Lauper, your certified financial planner in the GTA.
Everyone has heard the news, how deep Canadians are in debt, how hard it is to get a mortgage. Every single day, we are making homeowners' dreams come true. Getting first-time buyers into homes and helping homeowners use their equity to power down their debt. We're Mortgage Intelligence, and we're mortgage experts with access to over 50 lenders, including major banks, plus credit unions, national and private lenders with proven track records, great rates, and fewer rules. For more information, contact Caesar Lauper of IPC Investment Corporation at 1-866-551-7374.
You have financial questions that need an answer. Now's your chance. The phone lines are open. 883-5000 or 1-800-684-2848.
All right, so welcome back to Money Matters, the show that helps you create, build, and protect the wealth that you've been entrusted with. We're talking about RSPs and everything you need to know about RSPs. We've been discussing the benefits of assigning a beneficiary, of course, very important planning tool. You need to have somebody named. It's the best way to handle the succession of your RSP or your RIF. So one of the options that you have as well is to list a charity as a beneficiary. And I think the most significant changes affecting estate planning relates to the ability to receive a credit of up to, and this is the only time that this can be done, by the way, is up to 100% of your taxable income for donations made through a will. Now, this means that the tax on RRSPs and RIFs arising from the death of the annuitant can be avoided completely. That's a good thing. Can be avoided totally if a donation equal to the value of the RRSP or the RIF is made in his or her will. So you can, in fact, if you're planning properly, get rid of 100% of the taxes that would be payable due to the selling and the registration of your RRSP. Now, this is a great opportunity for individuals to donate money to their favorite charity, to the churches that would have otherwise gone to the government in the form of taxes. Now, many would rather give the gift of life insurance benefits as a charitable gift due to the large benefit amounts relative to the small premiums paid over the life of the contracts. Now, you're really giving dollars at death for pennies. Yeah, so dollars for pennies, not a bad thing. You're really giving dollars and paying pennies for them and getting a huge tax break, allowing you to keep your estate intact while at the same time making a significant impact in your community by giving to your favorite charity and giving to your favorite organization. And it's really controlling what happens to the tax dollars, right? It's really controlling what happens to those tax dollars. Taxes have to be paid. In this case, instead of giving the money to the tax man, you're giving it to your favorite charity. And you can create a legacy that will actually have a lasting impact, beneficial impact to society. So the other thing is that some people that have come into the office upon request have shown me the beneficiaries on their RRSPs, and some people have left their estate as a beneficiary. Now, many people choose not to do this for two reasons. You shouldn't be just leaving your monies to your estate. Firstly, the amounts that are left to the estate become fully taxable to the estate. And secondly, the RRSPs then form part of the estate and then are would be subject to probate fees. So, why would you do that? You don't have to, so don't. If there is no spouse, many people prefer to leave and list their children as beneficiaries, which, of course, can help avoid the probate fee, but not the tax, of course. Now, in this case, it is important to watch the tax trap that can occur when someone other than the spouse is listed as a direct beneficiary of the RSP or the RIF. So you need to be careful, and you need to do your due diligence in your planning. One other thing is you know, when considering how to use your registered funds, I think, you know, there's been a lot of people that have been, you know, joking about, you know, spending your kids' inheritances, right? Now, it probably is not that big of a joke, because really when you pass away and you leave the income in your RSP and you become age 65 and, you know, you say, well, I don't want to take money out of my RSP because I got to pay taxes on it. Then, you know, your RSP money continues to accumulate and grow and grow and grow. And then, of course, at one point, at age 71, you're forced to start drawing an income. You must, at age 71, convert your RSP into a RIF. And then at age 72, you must start withdrawing an amount equal to the prescribed minimum amount every year after that. And now, most people end up withdrawing just the minimum amount because they really don't want to be paying taxes. I mean, everybody hates paying taxes, but in the end, you need to spend some of your money. So although spending RSPs for your lifestyle, of course, makes sense, for many people, the thought behind RSPs and RIFs is to defer their income for as long as possible. Now, deferral, of course, is a good point, but you can convert your RSP to a RIF, as I said, as early as you want, so it's not limited to age 71, but you can actually, if you have RSP money, you can convert it to a RIF as early as 18, if you were able to contribute, which I don't know how that would happen, but you can actually convert your RSP to a RIF as early as you want. You don't have to wait until you're 65, 55, or 71. But consider this. If you have not used the money by the time you turn 71, then probably you may not be using a heck of a lot of that money after 71, right? So in my experience, most people that defer their income to age 71, at age 72, they start taking the minimum amount from their RIF, which is basically the smallest prescribed income allowed. So this often happens not only because they do not want to pay the tax on the income, but also because they probably don't really need the income at that point either. So although deferring tax to the future can save you money while you're living, it may actually hurt you in the long run, especially after you pass on. So because the amount of money that you leave in the RSP when you pass away is deemed to have been deregistered completely and sold, and therefore attracting a significant amount of taxes. So when you die, all your RSP becomes taxable at once, unless you have a spouse to transfer the RSP to. So eventually, when the second spouse dies, that tax becomes inevitably, unless, of course, the surviving spouse keeps on remarrying, Now, there's a novel idea. Then the chain can be perpetual, right? So, but then, of course, if you're doing that, you would have to think about marrying somebody younger every time. So that's some planning. Well, you know, we're getting off topic here. So dying with your RSPs is the same as cashing out all your RSPs at once. And if you think about it, most people would not cash out their RSPs at once, of course, in fear of paying too much tax. So one strategy then is to convert your RSP into a RIF, and instead of taking out the minimum amount, we could take a larger amount, okay, enough to buy a life insurance policy to donate to charity, and therefore taking some control of where your tax dollars go. Your family gets all of your estate, your charity gets all you want to give, and the government gets nothing out of that. And, and you have built up nothing of what you built up over your lifetime. So you're actually fulfilling, three great things, right? So your family gets everything you have worked so hard to build over your lifetime. Your charity gets, what you want to give them. You leave a legacy behind, and you get to control the money that is left behind, so the government doesn't get anything out of that. So that's something to consider, something to look at, and certainly something to put into your plans. Some people say, well, I don't know if I can give anything to charity. Well, you know, by planning, you probably can. So give us a call, 1-866-551-7374. We'll help you through that process. Now, some people that understand the benefits of tax deductions at time of contribution also are critical of the RRSPs. Most people, get the benefits of saving for retirement and to save for your financial peace of mind. But we also get, that long-term deferral. But this is despite the benefits, despite the benefits of RRSPs, there is a criticism about RSPs as well, especially from people that are already retired. Most of the criticism stems from the fact that you eventually have to pay the taxes, which I've been saying has been a loan. So, don't be surprised, right? Don't be surprised. Be prepared. Many retirees argue that the original deduction was not free. Of course it wasn't free. It was not free at all. So, you got to pay it back. Now, paying it back, of course, comes at a price, right? Because some people say, well, if that's the case, I would have never put money into an RSP if I had known that I got to pay, more taxes than what I saved. Well, you got to consider it all before you make that decision. As I said, know your marginal tax rate, know your marginal tax bracket, and then forecast as much as you can what your marginal tax rate would be when you retire. First and foremost, you have to grasp what I've been advocating for several years, and that is the tax refund is really a tax loan. That's right. It's an interest-free tax loan, but a loan nonetheless. So wisdom would dictate that you should invest the interest-free loan you're getting, that tax refund, that interest-free loan you're getting, you should be investing in order to get ahead financially. After all, if you end up spending the refund, the loan you're spending, thinking that it is yours, then you will be faced with the not-so-pleasing reality of having to pay the loan back at a time in your life when your income is probably the lowest. So think about that. I want to thank you all for having joined me this day, and I want to invite you to join me again next Saturday at the same time, 10 o'clock. Invite your friends, your family members, and I encourage you to write down your questions, any questions you may have regarding financial planning, whether it be your tax situation, whether it be your portfolio management situation, whether it's your debt situation. We can help you improve your financial well-being, your financial health. This is Cesar Lauper, your certified financial planner, your advisor, your counselor for life. We thank you, and may God bless you. Until next Saturday at 10 o'clock.
You've been listening to
Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next week to learn more about how to create, build, and protect the wealth God has entrusted to you.